We're back to the Neil Haley Show and also the Media Giant Effect. And I'm excited to welcome my co-host, Dr. Ted Grellner. Dr. Ted, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
I am. What a multi-talented woman. I can't wait to speak to her.
Yes, and I'm excited. So I'm excited to welcome the program celebrity Tanya Pinkins. Tanya, thanks for stopping by. I mean, I was just reading your resume of success and what you've been doing from movies to theater to just all these different things. Did you always want to be an actor? And I just noticed Carnegie Mellon University. Again, I'm a Pittsburgh guy. Started out in radio 13 years ago at CMU. So I never attended CMU, but I started my radio show at WRCT. So we have that connection. And I'm sure you enjoyed that experience at Carnegie Mellon. But how are you, Tanya?
I am great. Thank you for having me, Neil and Ted. I'm happy to be here. I didn't start out to be an actor. And I don't ever think of myself as just that because I paint, I write books, I podcast, I make movies, I do theater, I do film, I sing, I do cabaret, I've produced albums. I kind of like to do a lot of things. And I have the kind of mind where I can juggle multiple projects at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. And it's something that you do that. So I'm asking your question about Carnegie Mellon. So is that where your undergrad was at CMU?
I did 1 year at CMU because I booked my first Broadway show over Christmas break as a freshman year. I got into Hal Prince and Stephen Sondheim's Merrily We Roll Along. I was cast over the Christmas break, so I knew I wasn't coming back for the second year. I went to Broadway instead.
Well, but hey, that means how talented you are, right? Right from CMU right on to Broadway. And they got a great program, don't they, over at CMU?
It's they do. I was in the musical theater program and it was fantastic.
All right. Go ahead, Ted, with your first question.
Well, while we're on the topic of education, what is a Fulbright specialist and what did you do with that?
What a Fulbright specialist is it just really means that you've been designated by the Fulbright organization to go and teach, and they fund you for that. So a university or an organization can apply to Fulbright and say, we're looking for someone to do this, or we're looking for a specific person to do this. And so a university in Russia actually wanted me to come and teach acting there.
Oh, wow. Oh, that must have been quite an experience.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Neil.
You know what? I was taking a look at, you know, some of your places where you had a reoccurring cast. 24 must have been really cool, right? That experience.
Oh, that was a show. I love that show. And, you know, getting to be taken hostage and nearly poisoned to death by Jack was really a highlight of my career.
go figure. And I was noticing your roles, you just play a variety of different roles. What kind of role do you enjoy the most?
I think I like playing bad people like Mrs. Peabody on Gotham and Martha on Fear of the Walking Dead. There's something delicious about playing people who are a little off, and you know, you can play nice when you're being evil. You have much more of a range in those characters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we better watch out. Her evil character. Another one, Dr. Ted. Remember the one from Halloween Ends? Oh boy, she was evil. The evil.
It's true.
Oh gosh.
Slasher. Yeah. In Red Pill, when I look at the cast and the crew, I see Tanya Pinkins, Tanya Pinkins, Tanya Pinkins, Tanya Pinkins, Tanya Pinkins, Tanya Pinkins, Tanya Pinkins. You can see from a variety of different jobs and hats. So my question is, what is your favorite and what's the most challenging?
Certainly trying to do all of the jobs is very, very challenging, but there was something very fulfilling about it because I wanted to finish this film and I went over budget and I ran out of money. And so I had to do a lot of jobs because I couldn't hire people to do them. I do like writing and directing. I mean, Red Pill was probably the most fulfilling thing I've ever done other than birthing my four children at home.
Oh my, that's quite a job. One more question. What exactly does a producer do?
Well, there are different kinds of producers. Sometimes you see producer on a show and it just means they gave you some good advice and you want to acknowledge them with a producer credit. That's particularly executive producers are often just a name. Someone lent you a name or they connected you with a relationship. The line producer is the person who actually handles the day-to-day, make sure all the sets and all the contracts are done and all the deliverables are ready. That is your line producer. And that's usually one person, often called the unit production manager. And then other people just, you give producer credits. Some people are generous with them. Some are stingy with them. On this, my first film, I gave it to a lot of people. I had girlfriends who came up and got our catering handled and who, you know, did crew work. So it was a village to make Red Pill.
How much did that, based on your experience, being fun, being involved in all those things compared to, you know, where you have a certain role? Either you're going to be acting or you're going to be behind the camera, but you're doing so many different things. Is that when it's like your baby, right? That's what you talked about.
It's my baby.
Process is, are you happy where direction as creators are becoming now? Where more and more people are making their own films, more and more people are having the opportunity compared to when it was not available to people 20 years ago.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. I think it's going to allow us to see more stories and see more of the world. And it's just the most thrilling thing I've ever done. You realize that people who make movies, they get to create worlds, and other people will inhabit those worlds, and that will change their mind and their imagination about what's possible. So it's a very powerful thing getting to be a storyteller and make a movie.
When you write a script and you're producing it and you're acting in it, at what point do you realize whether or not that script is going to be a hit and whether it's connecting with people?
We had readings of it. We had some readings at Yale. We had readings with the actors. The thing that I knew about Red Pill was it's a critique of American politics. It's a critique of both political parties. And so I was aware that in America, it probably wouldn't be a hit. But outside of America, I knew they'd get it and love it. And it's won a lot of international awards and been translated into German and Italian and Greek and Catalonian and Russian. You know, it's sometimes hard for people to look in the mirror and see themselves. And when I made Red Pill, people were like, oh my God, that's such a far-fetched story. And I was like, okay. It's far-fetched. I'm going to do it. And then after January 6th, they were like, did you make this movie after January 6th? I'm like, nah, 2 years before.
So tell us about Red Pill so that people have not seen it. So
Red Pill is like a horror film. It's my favorite genre. And it's the eve of the 2020 election. And this multicultural group of middle-aged people, you know, take a car down to the South to go canvassing, and it gets interrupted. And I play a character who's like, you know, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe this isn't a good idea. And they just keep going, oh, you're always just so much. You're so extra. It's perfectly safe. And then the first night one goes missing, and the next day someone gets killed, on and on and on until we get to the end. So it's like a sociopolitical horror thriller.
I love horror movies, so I'm definitely going to have to check that out. And were you playing a bad guy or a good guy in that one? What would you consider?
You know, for me, I don't feel like in the political system there are any good or bad guys. They're both about the same. They're both equal. What I played was the person who kept saying, the emperor has no clothes. The emperor has no clothes. And nobody was listening.
Got it. Now, you know, when I think about looking at a Tony Award winner performed on Broadway, have been on these big shows. Wow. I've not seen many actors that could say, hey, I was on Broadway, I won a Tony, and I also have acted with so many talented people. When you reflect on your career, do you see something that is just amazing that a lot of working actors can't say they've done?
I definitely know that I've done a lot of things, more that I have a greater variety of credits than most people, but it's because I'm just curious. So I'm not afraid of failing at things. And whenever I hear of something new, I want to try it. And I don't mind if I fail at it. So I think that a lot of times people get caught up in their career and they want to be successful and they want to repeat success because nothing succeeds like success. Whereas I'm like, okay, I succeeded at that. Now let me go try this other thing. And I think that that would be what defines me, is that I'm always saying, okay, well, what else? What else? What else?
So on your time off, I'm assuming you're thinking about work. because that's your hobby.
Well, you know, I also love to travel. And I've, you know, committed several years ago that 6 weeks a year, I've got to go and just sit in some foreign place where I don't know anybody. So literally tomorrow, I don't know when this airs, but I'm headed to Portugal and West and Central Africa. I don't have many plans. I'm just gonna, like, you know, take some buses and bush taxis and figure it out. And people are like, you can't do that. And you don't have visas. And I'm like, okay, well, if I get someplace and they don't have a visa and they won't let me in, I'll have to figure out something else.
This will air in 2023. It's okay. I keep rolling again. It's Friday. My syndication for the radio program, which I don't mention sometimes, is Monday through Friday. I'm on 150 plus radio stations. Plus, put this for television. This will be on BPTV Channel 7 in Pittsburgh, and also be on my YouTube channel. So, and then all the podcasting. So, I am what we call a hybrid of hybrids, and I have no idea in 2023 where else I'm going to be going. I was talking to somebody today about VR and AR. Wait till the podcast, Ted, is going to be in virtual reality. We'll all have our virtual reality glasses, and we'll be all together in Tanya's house. So that's what's going to be happening.
I've got a gallery. I've got a few houses in VR in alt space, and I had a screening of Red Pill in VR.
Really?
So with you. Oh, like, wow. I said, I want to try it all.
We got to be ready for Web 3.0, don't we? You're already ready, right?
Yes. Yes, there's masks in my film. And so we had some wearables even created when they had the screening, so people could put on the masks like were worn in the movie while they watched the movie.
As I was saying, the media giant, which is now my persona, because I'm 6'10", former professional wrestler, that now I call myself the media giant, Neil the media giant Haley. I see that again, Web 3.0, if no one's jumping on board, you better wake up, and we're going to be in outer space very soon, all of us. And we have to be ready. And I could see with your energy level, you want to be there. So that's what you're doing. That's why you take the 6 weeks to vacation a year. If you don't take those 6 weeks, you're not going to be there. And that's the thing we all have to look at with our health, is enjoying ourselves as well. So the latest project's Red Pill. Is there anything else people can check you out in?
I have a podcast called You Can't Say That, where I interview some really fascinating people. It's on the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a book, Get Over Yourself, How to Drop the Drama and Claim the Life You Deserve. And my second book is Red Pill Unmasked, which is the making of the film. And there's a game to go with the film that you can find on the Red Pill Movie website, which is a narrative game where you have to see if you can survive a world controlled by the Red Pills.
I love the promoting. Go ahead, Ted. Last question. I'm going to give you one more question with her.
Oh my God. I don't know what to ask. She's opened up so many different subjects. Writing. Is that something that came early or late?
Early. First thing I ever did, I started writing my first novel when I was about 6. And I was writing it every year and sending out little episodes of it to my friends through the years. It was like a murder mystery that was going to happen when we grew up and had a reunion. And in fourth grade, my fourth grade teacher, you know, scooped up all the little excerpts that were with people, and she was offended by the sex and violence in it. And so she destroyed the only copy that had been typed on a typewriter. Oh, and so no. I had a hard time writing for a while, but that is my first love, my first love.
Oh my God.
Well, Tanya, I'm blown away. Have a great trip for sure. Enjoy yourself. And you're right. Do you get recognized other places? Is that one reason why you like it, from other gigs you've done where you're on the street or different people recognize you?
I like being recognized. I just enjoy soaking in worlds that aren't mine. You know, I'm always aware that whatever I think I know, other people know something else. And so I enjoy finding out what else there is.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate it. And a good shout out again to your podcast, and that network's fantastic. Shout out to the network hooking me up to get Tanya. And I appreciate you coming on, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Neil and Ted, and Happy New Year to you and all of your followers.
All right. And you're listening and watching the Neil.